This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. We are into the festive season here at RÚV. Yule is not very far away. But the 21st of December, at 3:03 in the afternoon, a very important moment in the calendar because it marks the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, the very darkest part of the year. I'm delighted to welcome back a friend of the show, a friend of RÚV English Radio, Björk Bjarnadóttir, folk ethnologist, amongst other things. We've spoken quite a few times, haven't we, about some of the traditions in Iceland. And I wonder what we can say about the winter solstice, because it has been an important time of year in Iceland, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, if you look at the history of humankind, like every time we have feast, it's usually linked to something that goes around the sun. The sun is low, sun is high, the sun is coming up or going down. So like the Native Americans, they have like a sun dance. Mm. That's in the highest season in June. And now we have like the sun is standing still today. That's what they say. Mm. She is not going to get any more lower today. And in English, you call it, like you said before, solstice. And it's also in French. So it's the same meaning, and it comes from Latin, and it's solstitium. It means still sun.
And here in Iceland, of course, we say the word for sun is
sol. Yeah. Or so, we call it vetrar solstöður.
For solstice.
Winter solstead, like vetrar solstöður. And now the sun is going to come back, and we say our day is going to get longer by one chicken step. So next day, the 22nd, the day is going to be a little bit longer with one, and like each day it's going to be like
two. Do we double the number of chicken steps?
Yeah, chicken steps. Go so on. We call, we say, nú munan verða tvö hænuskref, nú lengist dagur náði eitt hænuskref, tvö hænuskref, þrjú hænuskref. So our people in the old days here, they always had celebration around this time before we became Christians. Mm. And we called it Jule. Mm. And still nobody knows exactly the meaning of the word Jule. Mm. But it is, in the core, it's a feast.
Yes. And it became Yule in English.
Yeah, Yule in English.
So similar to, related to, but not actually Christmas.
No.
So there's still that distinction. We talk about Yule in Iceland. And obviously there is Santa Claus. And obviously there is all of the tinsel and the glitter and the lights and stuff. But it is something Icelandic we're talking about. We're not talking about a traditional Christmas, because even the word is different, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So we call it Jól, and everybody here, like they on the old days, they just had a big gathering. It was the celebration of the light is coming.
Yeah.
And the darkness is not going to get any more darker. And we are going to get together and we're going to celebrate the light. And we're going to stay together inside of the house where all the brightness and the warmth is gathered together around our fireplace. Mm. And that's what I'm always concentrating on, is a circle.
Yes.
So you don't see a square fireplace. Well, very rarely, mostly inside of houses, but fire pits are usually, you know.
Yes, yes.
Like, you know, circles.
Now you mention it, yes.
You always sit around the circle and all our life is a big circle.
Yes.
When we all start as a child in the spring, and we go to the summer as a youth, in the fall as a parent, and as an elder
in the winter,
and we turn white like the winter.
Yes, well, it's coming to all of us, isn't it?
Exactly.
What's interesting, though, is that in terms of the weather, we head into December, January, February, very often the most wintry months as far as the weather is concerned. So it doesn't feel as if we're turning a corner in that respect, because we're going to see, I think it's fair to say, in the next couple of months, some pretty stormy, cold, snowy weather, maybe more so than in the months leading up to today.
Exactly. So this is what has given us hope. You know, we will struggle after 21st. We know it's going to be hard, but we know and we believe and we we know and we expect that the spring birds are going to come.
Yeah.
Like we say, lowan, the ptarmigan. No, yes. Not the ptarmigan, what do you call it? The golden plower.
That's it, yes.
Golden
we had
plower.
Some translation issues
she,
with that last.
She, like we call it her, we call that bird she.
Yes.
Lowan. She's the one that brings us the spring.
Mm.
And when the people in the old days heard her singing, they knew now the spring is coming. She was the one that brought the hope and that you could rely on.
Mm.
We are going to have spring. Because usually in the old days, sometimes when we had really hard winters, the hay was gone and there was very little food left. So when the spring was coming, that is when everything was going to come back to us.
But there's a lot to enjoy, or at least a lot to celebrate about the darkness, I think. And okay, I think maybe we've had this conversation before. I love the darkness in Iceland. I love the dark mornings. I love the fact that it doesn't get bright until, you know, 20 past 11 at the very darkest part of the year. I think that's fantastic. But from that darkness, even from people who don't enjoy it, there's a tradition of reading, isn't there? There's a tradition of being together because you kind of had to be, otherwise you would die from the cold and the
exposure. See, this is the time, like we've been discussing in the folklore department of University of Iceland, this is the time of the woman. This is the time when we go into the house and we start to use our hands and we do all the crafts. We prepare nice and warm food. And this is the time of our boogie woman, Grýla. This is when she wakes up. And she is the one who lives in the mountains, and she is an awful creature. She has the hoof, her feet are hoof of the horse, and she is strong and tall with very nasty horns on her head. Mm. And she is the one that eats the naughty children.
Yes. And remind me about Grilla's relationship to the Yule lads and to the Christmas cat.
Yeah, she is the mother of our 13 Santa Clauses.
The Yule lads.
Yule lads.
And the Christmas cat is her
Christmas
pet.
Cat is her pet.
Yes.
And he's the one that eats the people and the children that don't get any new clothes for Christmas.
Which has never seemed very fair to me.
Never very fair. And she's been used, of course, the children probably became very, didn't like staying that much inside. So they used the boogie woman to get them to be quiet. Behave, you know, in a good way. But this is the time of the woman, the winter time. This is a time of the storytelling to stay together. And if you look at it, storytelling has changed into books and the books have changed into movies.
But stories must have come from the darkness as well because your imagination goes wild, doesn't it, when you can't see anything.
This is a time of the ghosts. Yeah. This is a time of the monsters. This is a time also to reflect on what has happened in the year and how am I going to make good things come out of it.
Mm.
So the winter solstice is absolutely a time to reflect.
Yes.
So in the old days, we only had two seasons. We had summer and winter. So sometimes this is where they mark the new year with the winter solstice.
Because the beginning of winter, according to the Old Norse calendar, is the 24th of October, I think, around about there. And that's the point, as you say, when we don't go from autumn to winter there, we go straight from summer to winter. It's a binary thing.
Exactly. And it's very interesting. And also, I'm very interested about plants and their history and folk belief and all that. So in the Christmas, we have this holly oak, and it is represent the crown of Christ.
Mm.
And it's an evergreen tree with red berries, and they represent the blood of Christ. And if you look at our longest day here, Jónsmessa, the 24th of June, then it's the birthday of Johannes St. John. And he has a plant called St. John's Wort.
Mm.
And it has yellow flowers, and when you make oil out of it, the oil turns red, so it represents the blood of him.
This is used as well as a sort of mood enhancer, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So if you go to this, when they did the transition to Christianity, it was so easy, because suddenly the winter solstice was the birthday of Jesus Christ. But it all fitted very well together.
Quite coincidental, really, wasn't it?
And it was like, whoa, it suits. The heathen, the pagans already had fests at this time. So the transition wasn't very hard.
No. And it's all blended now, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
You've got the traditional pagan Yule around the time of the solstice. You've got Christmas on the 25th. And as we sit here in 2025, you can see parts of all of that
exactly.
in an Icelandic,
exactly.
quote-unquote, Christmas, can't you?
Yeah. So we have like our Christmas in Iceland. They are so full of ancient things. We
yes.
have, like we talked about before,
yes.
the 13 Yule lads. They start to come down from the mountains, like 13, one and one each night, 13 days before Christmas. And we have their mother, Grýla, the boogie woman, and we have their father, Leppalúði.
Mm.
And they have the cat, the Christmas cat. And then we have the hidden people, mm. Huldufólk and Álfar, mm. that start to travel and change houses and places, and they go to dances during the New Year.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they pass through your house, there was always somebody taking care of the farm.
Mm.
And they wanted you to join their dance, but you were not allowed to do that because then you would break your foot and you would die.
Mm.
So if it happened on a farm, there are many, many folk tales about that.
Yes.
And it happened many winters and people are like wondering, what happened? Why did this person die? He or she was taking care of the farm.
Mm. Mm.
So there's always one brave person that wants to stay behind and read a book.
Yes.
And that person stays in the bed and the elves and the hidden people, they come and do their dance and they say, come and dance. And she says, no, no, no.
Yes.
And then when the day is coming up, she started to understand, like seeing maybe a little bit of brightness coming. She says, I thank God for the day is coming.
Mm.
And the hidden people and elves, they run away and leave all the treasures and golden plates and forks and knives and golden cups behind.
Yes.
And that person gets all the treasures and shares it with the people on the farm when they finally come next day after being at a mass.
Was the darkness itself ever celebrated, though? I want to come back to this because I'm someone who loves the darkness
yeah.
as a sin. Am I the only one ever in history to enjoy this? Or were there people who also didn't just wait for the darkness to go away, but actually enjoyed it and celebrated it?
Yeah, we would say it's that what you in Europe calls Halloween.
Mm.
We call it Vetrarnætur.
Mm.
And that's the celebration we had here. And usually have, and it's also called Sviðamessa, the mass of the sheep heads.
But is that on the 31st of October?
It's nearly, it's like 25th of October.
Okay, so it's separate from
yeah,
Halloween. Okay.
But it's very similar mm-hmm. because we are having feast and we are celebrating all our harvest is in the house. And we are welcoming the winter to come. And we call it Veturnætur, the yes. nights of the winter.
And that is very close to the first day of winter, in fact, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So
yeah.
we would have, they would have weddings at this time
mm-hmm.
because everybody had gathered all the winter food for themselves and the animals in the houses.
Mm.
The weather was quite good and people could travel between places safely mm. on horses or on foot.
Yes.
Because we didn't have any bridges here, you know. It was very dangerous to travel in Iceland.
Mm.
If you didn't know the roads, like the tracks, you always had to have a good guide.
Mm.
And sometimes the horses knew their way and you would let the horse lead. We had very wise horses regarding crossing rivers, unbridged rivers.
Yes.
And in Öræfasveit, where they have like this huge bridges, in the old days they had horses there that were called vatnahestar or water horses.
Mm. Mm.
And they just jumped right into the glacier rivers and they just swam over with the people.
Okay.
They were like, they were a special kind of breed. And every horse there knew how to cross a glacier river.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
That's knowledge passed from one yeah. horse to
another
somehow, isn't it?
And they, like, there's a description of from one author, Þórbergur Þórðarson. He is crossing those rivers and they're unbridged and he is with his wives and he says they looked like a camelbacks moving because the waves on the glacier river were so high. They were so high. And they were like camelbacks.
Mm.
And the horses jumped with him and his wife and the guides right into the glacier rivers. And he said, I just put all my trust on the horse.
The first day of summer is celebrated in April,
yes,
I think. And that's public holiday here.
Yes.
Right? First day of winter isn't a public holiday because it's always on Saturday.
Exactly.
But do you think it should be a public holiday?
I think so, because, yeah. like I say, as an ethnologist, more feast, more celebration, yeah. more and much more fun.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. I mean, we get the day off anyway because it's a Saturday, but it would be nice if it was a weekday.
But first day of summer used to be like when my great-grandfather was growing up, everybody used to get a book, like a summer present, and they're coming back in again, mm-hmm. mostly for children, toys, summer, like toys you would use during the summertime, outdoor toys, like, I don't know, footballs and whatever. But they used to give beautiful books with like summer poems, all kinds of nice poems.
Mm.
And yeah, it was a big celebration. And like I said before, it's the migratory birds that brings all the hope and the joy. And also that you can rely on that summer and spring are coming back.
And people in Iceland today then will be feeling that when the solstice actually, when we reach that point at 3:03, that will be something that they feel.
There is a relief. You feel a relief inside of yourself when you hear the winter solstice are today.
It must be even more true in places to the north of the country. So if you're in Akureyri or if you're in any part of the country where the sun basically goes behind the mountain, it might still rise, but you don't get its rays sometimes for months on end.
Yeah.
Or if you're on the tiny fraction of Grímsey where it actually is going to be a polar night today or maybe last night. I guess in those places, that sense is felt even more.
Exactly. And also they have like a celebration in Siglufjörður where they have very high mountains and Ísafjörður. That when the sun is coming up above the mountain again, they have solar coffee, sun coffee. And that means they celebrate with baking pancakes and have nice coffee, hot chocolate, whipped cream on top. And everybody celebrate. Now we have solar coffee because the sun is coming back into our valley.
Yes. So even though the sun rises, it's behind the mountain, so it doesn't, its rays don't land on the town. It sounds heavenly to me.
It sounds heavenly. And
months
all this
and
darkness also, the like there are often people are wondering how come in this island, nearly 300,000 people that live here, why is there so much creativity? Like, why are so many people in music? Why are so many people in arts, all kinds of arts? That's the thing. I would say we have it in our core, create when the darkness comes around us. Because when you create, there's lots of brightness that come into your soul and your mind and heart.
And it's something to do as well.
Have something to do and create. Yeah. And many children are going to musical schools in Iceland. And it's like, what instrument are you playing? They often ask.
Mm. Well, my partner used to sing in a choir in the UK and we visited one of the choirs, one of the male voice choirs in Ísafjörður a few years ago before we lived here. And actually the rehearsal took place, I think it was in Nýfstalur or possibly in Bullungabrik. It wasn't even in Ísafjörður itself. And I think we went there on something like a Tuesday night in February. So it felt very, very wintry, very, very dark. And there were 40 people there on a Tuesday evening rehearsing. Real commitment to, as you say, artistic pursuits, be it music or whatever else.
People, they love doing all the choirs. And they come it's usually, like you said, rehearsal. And you often, when you meet people, lots of them are in choirs.
Mm.
Like they love to meet up and meet their friends and do some activities. And there's lots of stuff that they do with the choirs, like social. Because they meet after practice, they go maybe for coffee after practice. They are preparing for a choir trip, maybe to Europe.
Yes.
So
yes.
There's lots of nice social things that happen around singing.
Mm.
And lots of people in Iceland, they just know how to read notes and know how to sing. You know, that's not like everybody do. And we used to have this tradition on Rímur that people used to know all the Icelandic sagas of the Vikings and like by word. But then they could remember the saga better, they would put them in songs and sing them in a certain kind of way. And it's called rím.
Yes, which is a particularly Icelandic form of singing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And maybe you can play one rímur after this program or something by Steindór Andersen. He recently passed away and he was very good in bringing this tradition back.
Let's do that. Yeah.
And he did that also with Sigurós, the beautiful...
Yes.
Beautiful project with that group.
Was that the Óðins Raven Magic album?
Yes.
Which I have.
And he brought that even into a kindergarten in Reykjavik and the children there are learning how to sing rímur. So that's very important to do singing. And some schools in Reykjavik and all over the country, they start with like, we meet together here in the hallway and we sing the day in.
Yeah. So you see, the darkness is a good thing because it leads to all this stuff.
The darkness is a very good thing.
We shouldn't be celebrating it going away. We should be doing all we can to keep it as dark as possible.
Exactly. I agree with you. The darkness is very good. It's a quiet time. You can be by yourself. You can concentrate on projects that have been lying around.
Yes.
You organize
a big pile of books next to your bed. You can get through those.
Exactly. And you organize how to meet maybe friends or people in your family. You can make traditions. And that's the interesting thing about everything linked to people, that we can make our own traditions. Nothing is banned.
No, no.
See, if you look at Halloween, it's a celebration of everybody. You don't exclude anyone. Black people, white people, handicapped people, different religions, all sexes, everybody celebrate Halloween. And that's the reason it's so popular. Everybody finds something to celebrate there. But in the core, it's a celebration of the darkness.
Yes.
Harvest. And we welcoming the winter and the darkness.
And the new traditions that you talk about, some of that comes from blending traditions. So, for example, we've spoken before about Halloween in Iceland and the way that it has a very kind of Celtic roots, dark Celtic roots here in Iceland. But, of course, that's been blended with trick-or-treating and all of the American stuff.
Yeah.
We've got the same thing going on with Yule and Christmas, haven't we? We've got those very, very deep roots of Yule that we've discussed with the more modern ideas of Christmas, the Santa Claus, the tinsel, the lights, the presents, and all of that kind of stuff. Where does the tree fit into all this? Because that feels like it's more to do the with tree. Yule than a modern Christmas.
Thank you for mentioning the tree, because I was just thinking about yesterday, maybe I should write a book about the Christmas tree.
Oh, I'd buy that.
What is the thing about dragging a tree into your living room and decorating it? What does it mean? Why do we do it?
What does it mean and why do we do it?
We do it because it's a celebration of life. Life is coming back.
And so that predates the Christian Christmas then, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's a really old... the first written references probably about Christmas tree is like around 1500 something in Germany, 1500, 1600. And it's a German tradition. The Germans brought in beautiful branches of tree, green trees, into the living room around that time. And then it slowly developed into a tree because they knew that the brightness is coming back and life is coming back, but we will put it into our living room just to remind us and celebrate it with a living thing that shows us life is always going into circles.
Yes.
And then Victoria, Queen of England, got married to a German, was Albert a prince? I think so. He was a German.
I should know this, really.
Yes. There was a beautiful picture of them, the celebration of Christmas. Victoria and Albert with the children, I think, in one of the palaces. And there's a Christmas tree. And after that picture started to go around the world, more and more people started to put Christmas trees in their houses. And it was brought to Iceland around beginning of 1900, end of 1800, maybe 90. And then we made our own Christmas trees. We built them out of tree because we didn't have trees.
No.
So.
Where did we get the wood from?
Exactly. It mostly driftwood.
Driftwood, yeah.
Yeah, or leftover some wood. And most of the time, the husband built a beautiful Christmas tree for their family that would stand on a table or a little chair, and the children would go out and gather juniper branches or uva ursa. That's an evergreen bush that grows in our moor. And children would be put outside to bring this for the Christmas tree, and they would wrap it around the homemade tree, and there they had their own tree.
There's a great exhibition at the house at Soithernes in the northeast of the country. And part of it is about the importance of driftwood. And particularly in the north of the country, a lot of it drifts in from Siberia and ends up in the northern shores of Iceland. And actually, driftwood has been really important in Iceland over the years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
As a kind of free resort.
Yeah. It was. Every farm owned their own seashore.
Yes.
So you would share the driftwood. This would be your own ownership. You owned that driftwood that landed on your seashore. Nobody was allowed to take it. So it was your natural resource that came originally from Russia.
Mm.
When they were cutting the trees, always some, you know, escaped from the mill.
Yes.
It takes them about 3 to 5 years to come from Russia to east side of Iceland and western part of Iceland, Strandir region mostly. And you were a rich farmer if you had a driftwood, sure. And you would sell your wood.
If you go to Drangsnes, actually, in the Westfjords,
yeah,
a lot of the houses there and their gardens have kind of ornaments made of big chunks of driftwood mm-hmm. that have obviously just landed.
And you would sometimes, you could sometimes find like very rare wood on your seashore,
yes,
like redwood, some kind. And often there were very, very talented artists making things out of these. Like most of our utensils were made out of bone, like spoons and forks and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But our plates, askur, the one with the lid on, all these things were made out of wood. And wood was a very scarce resource. You wouldn't yes. burn wood no. to heat up your turf house. You would go out and gather peat from very difficult situation in the hot fall to dry peat in a certain kind of way. And then you will burn it and it had to be sliced in a certain kind of slices. Or you would use sheep dung to heat up your food and heat up your house.
Which again is about Iceland making use of absolutely everything. And we see this now with some of the nose-to-tail cooking that goes on. You know, one of the reasons that, for example, ram's testicles are consumed and the pickled shark and all the rest of it. Part of that, as well as it being a tradition that's been revived, is also about making use of every part of the animal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a real sense that you had to use absolutely everything that was available, whether it was driftwood or whether it was ram's testicles.
Exactly. So everything that we, like, we are like, our nation is a sheep nation. We wouldn't have survived in this country if we wouldn't have had the sheep, because all our clothing came from its wool. Food came from that animal, and we used its bones both for utensils and for toys for children.
Yes.
So if we look at another nation, Native Americans, they were bison people. They survived because the bison was roaming on the plateau.
Mm.
Everything came from the bison, their food, their clothing, and utensils from the bones.
Mm.
So when the Native Americans, they started to have issues with the white people, the white people knew how to kill them, take all the bison away.
Yeah.
You see, if we look at nations all over the world, we are linked to the animal that roams in our country. You know?
And the animal that roams in this country, as you say, historically, has been the sheep.
The sheep.
There's not really been any other one, has there?
Well, the Arctic fox was the first settler in Iceland, probably yes. with the ptarmigan and the eagles.
But the Arctic fox is not really farmed, is it?
No, it's not farmed. So it's like the wild animal that was roaming here.
Yeah.
And then we imported reindeers like 1700-something from Finland.
Which are all now in the east of the country, which is fantastic.
And it's amazing that they survived and they love it over there.
Yes, they do. Well, I've been recently to the reindeer park in Fetlabær, which is near Elstadi. You can hear that program before too long on Roof English Radio. But on the day of the solstice, the shortest day here in Iceland, you really do get a sense, don't you, of some of those really, really deep tradition. You can feel them in the darkness, I think.
Yeah, you can feel them in the darkness. And you know that when you know these... this time is coming up, like they have some kind of celebration with the Ásatrúarfélagið. That's the
pagan,
old Norse belief in Odin and Thor and Freya and Frigg.
Yes.
And they celebrated with certain kind of fire ceremony.
Mm.
Yeah, it is very important that when there are transitions in nature, we have celebrations.
Mm. And I know that Ásatrúarfélagið, as you say, they have the blots, I think they're called. At various times of the year, day of winter with one of them.
Yeah, I think they have bloat on in a winter solstice and summer solstice.
And indeed, there's a temple, isn't there, being built just now to Ásatrú.
Yeah, now here in Ösklíð.
In Ísklíð. And that's scheduled to be completed in the next couple of years at some point, I think. So that'll be an interesting conversation to have because there are thousands of Icelanders who have Ásatrú as their life stance, as their chosen religion.
Yes, you can choose that as your religion.
Mm. And many do.
They like it makes lots of sense what the Norse gods represent because they represent most of the elements that we have around us.
Mm.
Like Thor is the fire god because he takes care of you know, making lightnings with his hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also gods of the seasons, of fertility and war.
An interesting quirk is that in Icelandic, the days of the week don't refer to those Norse gods, but in English, they do. So yeah. You've got Wednesday, which is Wodansday, which is Odinsday. Thursday, which is Thursday.
Exactly.
But those don't work in Icelandic because the words that we have for the days of the week are very straightforward. It's like it's the fifth day, for example.
I know. They took our old names away. So they still have the old names also in Denmark.
Yes.
And there is a little group here in Iceland that wants the old names to be brought back.
It would seem logical.
It seems logical. And I would give that my vote because that's how it used to be.
Yes.
So Wednesday is Odinsdagur.
Yeah.
Odinsday.
Rather than in Icelandic.
Miðvikudagur.
Yeah.
The midday of the week.
Yes. That's a bit boring, isn't it?
It's a bit boring.
We could have Odinsday or we could have the middle of the week.
Exactly.
What would you prefer?
Odinsdagur, but much nicer.
Yes, yes. Well, that there's some nice circularity, I think, to our conversation. And we talked about the importance of the circle of life. So, Björk, thanks very much. I suppose the next big day to look forward to then would maybe be the first day of summer in April, which is a public holiday.
Yeah, it's a big day. And I recommend that now on winter solstice, everybody would start a little fire outside if they can or light a candle to celebrate inside of their house or outside and with their friends and family.
But do it safely.
Do it safely.
Bjarnadóttir, thank you very much indeed.
Takk fyrir.
Gleðileg jól. It's Roof English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. You can get in touch anytime. We're English at ruv.is.
Fagra kvelið gillir grund glatt með þel að vanda nú því gel ég ringa rund áttin vel stíganda Misjafn rómur mærðar misjafn dómar falla. Syngja óma haukar hér, hrafnar og lómar gjalla. Misjaft kjörinn mærðar hljóm, metur fjörug þjóðinn. Syngur hver með sínum róm, svona gjörast hljóðinn. Sumir grunda guðleg ljóð, gæfu skunda línu. Vístóm stunda vel hjá þjóð, verja pundi sínu. Sumir þráfalt máluð menn, mynda háfleg kvæði. Þau vér sjá þrýkt á brenn, þjóta snjáa svæði. Þessir hrinda heimsku í vind, hróðrar binda príði. Kærleik ynd í eimd og sind í hug mynda smíði. Óttast njóð og arnar leir, eldir fróðleik söpnum. Bæta móður máli þeir, meður þjóðskáls nöfnum. Stundum skýjum ofar og yrkin nýju þylja. Útlendri að fræða flóð. Flestir apa eftir þeim, oft á rapa niður. Skemmtun mjög sem margvaldar, ment á rögu vinir. Færa í sögur fornaldar, fram í bögur í nýr. Rímur tíðum borgast best og brjálist tíðar andi. Sem alþýðan metur mest mikið víða í landi. Þær að kveð á kveldin hér kætir geðað vonum. Saklaus gleði og það er ekru freða sonum. Hér slóðir ísa en án í móðins tímum. Rósa fróðleiks mestum en margir góðum rímum. Sumir gríðar svör með klúr, sverta og nýða aðra. Liga hýði löngum úr, lasta skrýður naðra.
There is more from RÚV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.